Usually, when we talk about defending critical national infrastructure, the perimeter is basically everything, right? It's that classic castle wall approach.
Right, yeah. You build it high and keep the bad guys out.
Exactly. You build it high, you build it thick. But the moment you introduce autonomous AI agents into the environment, that entire architecture is just, well, it becomes obsolete.
It really does. I mean,
Yeah.
it forces a complete teardown of our traditional trust models.
Because we are willingly carrying the threat vector right into the throne room. Like we're handing it the blueprints of the network and just asking it to optimize the internal plumbing.
Yeah, the whole concept of an inside and outside is it's fundamentally compromised by design.
Yeah.
You've got this entity that is continuously generating and executing code from right within the trusted zone.
Which is exactly why we are pulling apart the June 3rd, 2026 AI intelligence briefing today. And if you are listening to this deep dive, you're likely navigating these exact challenges as a senior cybersecurity leader here in the UK.
Yep, operating right in government or CNI.
Right. So our mission today is pure substance-driven intelligence, no hype. We're looking at raw data covering Microsoft's newest specialized models, some significant breakthroughs in agent sandboxing, and real-world telemetry from high-stakes sectors.
Yeah, and of course, the regulatory landscape.
Oh, absolutely. How the converging or maybe violently clashing regulatory frameworks of the UK and the EU are basically dictating your procurement strategies. So we are moving entirely past benchmark leaderboards today.
Did it? Because those are mostly noise at this point anyway.
Exactly. We're focusing squarely on capability implications and the actual enterprise security impact. So, looking at the raw capabilities driving this shift, let's start with Microsoft's MAI series.
Right. So the briefing highlights MAI Thinking One and MAI Code One Flash. And these represent a huge departure from generalized text generation.
Yeah, they aren't just chatbots.
Not at all. I mean, MAI Thinking One is a 1 trillion parameter model, and it's architected specifically for advanced multi-step reasoning. It actually constructs and evaluates complex logic graphs before it even outputs a response.
Wow, and then Code One Flash is the operational side of that.
Exactly. It's a 137 billion parameter model optimized for seamless integration right into enterprise coding environments and CI/CD pipelines.
And the commercialization path here is immediate, right? They're already rolling this out to select early partners for mass data synthesis and automated code generation.
Yeah, the velocity is wild.
But bringing this back to CNI operations, deploying models of this scale is it's essentially like hiring a hyper-specialized savant contractor.
Oh, that's a really good analogy.
Right. Because you get this astonishing velocity of output, but that contractor fundamentally lacks the human context of operational risk.
Zero common sense boundaries.
Exactly. So you have to subject them to an impossibly rigorous security clearance. But how does a security team actually begin to vet the logic pathways of a 1 trillion parameter reasoning engine? I mean, we obviously can't just run a static code analyzer and look for CVEs.
Now, traditional code auditing is totally useless here because you're dealing with a non-deterministic system. With standard software, you trace the path from input to output.
Right.
It's explicit.
Right. It's predictable.
But with neural networks of this scale, the logic is entirely emergent. So the vetting process has to evaluate stateful logic subversion.
What does that look like in practice, though?
Well, security teams are having to observe the model's behavior across, like, millions of multi-turn permutations. They're looking to see if it inadvertently adopts systemic vulnerabilities or generates logic backdoors when you prompt it with edge case infrastructure scenarios.
Which perfectly explains the industry's massive pivot toward containment. Because if we mathematically cannot guarantee that the model's emergent logic won't produce a catastrophic payload.
We have to isolate the execution phase.
Exactly. And the briefing spends a lot of time on these new constrained execution environments, specifically tools utilizing WebAssembly, like Dataset Agent MicroPython and MicroPython WASM.
Yeah, these WASM-based environments are a really critical defensive maturity indicator.
Break that down for us a bit.
So WebAssembly utilizes a capability-based security model. By default, a WASM module has linear memory isolation, meaning it literally cannot read or write memory outside of its designated sandbox.
It's totally walled off.
Completely. It has zero native access to the host operating system. It doesn't even know what a file system is or a network socket unless the host explicitly injects those capabilities.
So when an agent like MAI Code 1 Flash generates a Python script to interact with a sensitive database, that code executes entirely trapped at the memory level.
Right. And the briefing explicitly notes that even highly advanced models like GPT 5.5 have consistently failed to break out of these WASM constraints.
Which sounds great, right? But looking at this from an enterprise risk perspective, this heavy reliance on sandboxing feels a bit like building a state-of-the-art air-gapped clean room.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Like, yes, the isolation chamber holds. But if the foundational training data is compromised, meaning we are dealing with a data poisoning vector, doesn't the threat basically bypass the sandbox entirely?
Oh, absolutely. It renders the structural integrity of the sandbox totally moot when it comes to decision making.
Because it just hands the human operator a flawed blueprint. Mm-hmm. And we assume it's safe simply because it came out of a secure clean room.
Exactly. The containment protects your host server from direct kinetic execution. Like, it stops the script from autonomously rewriting your firewall rules. But it does absolutely nothing to protect the human operator who acts on that corrupted intelligence.
Right. If a sophisticated adversary poisons the training corpus, they can subtly manipulate the weights to favor vulnerable logic paths.
Yeah, so the adversary isn't attacking the infrastructure. They are attacking the logic supply chain.
They're just banking on the fact that some overworked SOC analyst will look at an AI remediation plan, see it ran flawlessly in the WASM sandbox, and just blindly deploy it into the live environment.
And that right there is driving a massive paradigm shift in model red teaming. I mean, we're moving way beyond rudimentary prompt injection now.
Yeah, we don't care about tricking a content filter anymore.
Exactly. Red teaming is now focused on multi-turn stateful logic manipulation. Can an attacker provide a sequence of seemingly benign inputs over a long session that slowly nudges the model into generating compromised code?
Which means, for CNI leaders listening to this, verifiable data provenance and continuous cryptographic auditing of the training supply chain, those aren't optional best practices anymore.
No, they are foundational zero trust requirements at this point.
And this tension between autonomous capability and systemic risk isn't just theoretical. The briefing details how this is actively playing out in live deployments. Let's look at AI and cyber operations first.
Yeah, the integration of agentic AI into threat detection is accelerating rapidly.
Because the mean time to respond has to drop to near zero, right?
Right.
Adversaries are using AI to generate polymorphic payloads that alter their signatures in real time. Human operators just can't keep up with that volume.
The speed advantage is undeniable. Mm. But, as you'd expect, the internal risk scales right along with it.
Especially in an ICS or SCADA environment.
Right, where availability is everything. If you give an autonomous agent the authority to not just detect a threat, but to automatically isolate network segments or rewrite routing tables,
you introduce the massive risk of an AI-driven false positive. It's basically the equivalent of an overeager immune system.
I love that analogy.
You know, the AI detects a minor anomalous traffic pattern on the power grid, and in its attempt to surgically remove the threat, it autonomously severs connectivity to a critical substation.
It cures the disease but kills the patient.
Exactly. The defense mechanism causes a cascading failure that disrupts the national infrastructure way worse than the original anomaly ever would have.
And in CNI, the operational disruption from a false positive is often completely indistinguishable from a successful cyber attack.
Right. So human oversight protocols are just non-negotiable here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The briefing is very clear on this. You cannot allow an autonomous system to dictate escalation paths without a human validating the operational context.
And we actually see that exact same risk profile mirrored in the briefing's assessment of global healthcare deployments, right?
Yeah, the parallels are striking.
We've got fragmented care systems, chronic underinvestment, aging populations. So agentic AI is being deployed to manage complex diagnostic logistics and synthesize massive data sets of unstructured clinical notes.
And the efficiency gains there are staggering.
Mm-hmm.
But the stakes map perfectly to cyber defense.
Because it demands verifiable operational accuracy.
Exactly. If an AI agent hallucinating a line of code crashes a monitoring dashboard, well, that's an IT incident.
Bad, but manageable.
Right. But if an AI hallucinates a diagnostic routing step or incorrectly synthesizes a patient's medical history, you have a catastrophic clinical failure.
The mechanism of failure is identical, a breakdown in the logic pathway, but the real-world impact is literally life or death.
which brings a whole new level of ethical and legal liability into the mix.
And that leads us directly into the governance landscape. Because the stakes in healthcare and CNI are so profoundly high, regulators are aggressively stepping in. But for a UK-based CISO, navigating this is becoming an interoperability nightmare.
Oh yeah, the philosophies of London and Brussels are sharply diverging right now.
So let's look at the UK strategy first. It's heavily driven by DSIT and the AI Safety Institute, right?
Yes. And the UK has deliberately avoided establishing a single monolithic regulatory body for AI. They're going with a pro-innovation sector-by-sector approach.
Meaning
the philosophy is that AI risk in a financial clearinghouse is fundamentally different from AI risk in a water treatment facility. So compliance is delegated to existing regulators like Ofgem for energy or Ofwat for water.
Okay, but I have to challenge the long-term viability of that for enterprise security. Mm. Because from an operational standpoint, isn't a sector-by-sector approach basically like mandating a different structural safety standard for every single make of car on the highway?
It definitely creates massive friction.
I mean, if I'm a CISO running a unified SOC for a portfolio of CNI assets, maybe covering energy, water, and transport, does that mean my team has to implement a completely bespoke compliance framework for every single desk?
Unfortunately, yes. It breeds huge fragmentation in procurement. You have leaders trying to procure enterprise-wide AI tools, and they find out the tool approved for their transport division needs a totally different audit to be deployed in energy.
What a nightmare. And meanwhile, the European Union is operating with the subtlety of a sledgehammer.
Very true. The EU AI Act takes a strict, horizontal, risk-based classification system.
So they categorize systems entirely by their use case.
Right. Unacceptable risk, high risk, limited, and minimal risk. And for our audience, the critical detail is that AI deployed in critical digital infrastructure, law enforcement, and healthcare falls unequivocally into the high risk category.
Which mandates an incredibly heavy compliance burden.
Oh, it's massive. Mandatory conformity assessments, continuous post-market monitoring, exhaustive documentation on data provenance, not to mention stringent human oversight requirements before the system can even touch the EU market.
But see, because the EU market represents such a huge block of enterprise revenue, we're inevitably seeing the Brussels effect in action here.
Oh, completely.
Like, if Microsoft or a major security vendor builds an AI tool, they're going to architect it to comply with the EU AI Act. They aren't going to spin up a separate, less secure, UK-only branch of a trillion-parameter model.
Exactly. So as a UKCS, your procurement pipeline is ultimately being dictated by Brussels anyway, regardless of what Ofgem recommends.
Right. But the briefing also highlights this growing international consensus on proactive technical gating, right?
Okay.
The UK's AISI and EU regulators are sort of converging on mandatory pre-deployment auditing for frontier models.
Yeah, that's a huge development.
But explain how that practically works. Because we said earlier, you can't just run a vulnerability scanner on MAI thinking one. If they mandate pre-deployment auditing, what are they actually testing for, technically?
They are executing automated, massive-scale red teaming against the model's capability thresholds.
Okay, meaning what exactly?
Meaning independent bodies, like the UK AII, put the model in an isolated, simulated network. And they run specialized evaluations to see if it possesses the autonomous capability to, say, generate zero-day exploits or synthesize restricted biological materials.
Oh, wow. So they analyze its emergent logic when faced with malicious prompts.
Exactly. And if the model exceeds predefined safety thresholds for offensive capabilities, its release is gated. The vendor has to implement structural safeguards before it can hit the market.
So we are essentially moving from a reactive compliance model punishing companies after something breaks to a proactive capability-based gating system.
That's the goal, yeah.
So taking all of this raw intelligence into account, from the explosive reasoning of the MAI series, the memory-safe WASM containment, the high-stakes healthcare deployments, and this fragmented regulation, what is the definitive operational takeaway for a listener analyzing this briefing?
The core takeaway is that traditional enterprise security architecture has to evolve immediately. We are rapidly maturing the capability to contain these agents physically through WASM, but physical containment is not logic containment.
Right.
For CNI, perimeter defense is completely dead. You have to implement profound zero-trust principles around every single AI-mediated process.
So treat the outputs, especially generated code, as inherently hostile.
Yes. Untrusted, potentially hostile material. Verification has to happen independently of the generation environment. If you assume an AI's output is safe just because it ran in a pristine sandbox, you are leaving your infrastructure wide open to logic-based subversion.
It's a fundamental shift from securing the network perimeter to securing the integrity of the logic itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually leaves us with a really critical vulnerability to consider, something for you to mull over as we wrap up.
Yeah, it builds on everything we've dissected today.
Right, because if we successfully isolate these agents so effectively that even frontier models cannot technically break out of their WASM environments, we run headlong into a new, incredibly insidious risk, which is operator complacency.
Oh, absolutely.
By building the perfect clean room, do we just inadvertently create such a false sense of security that human analysts begin to blindly rubber stamp the AI's safely contained yet fundamentally flawed logic?
The sandbox keeps the AI in, but it doesn't keep bad decisions out.
Exactly. The WebAssembly container will flawlessly keep the AI trapped, but it cannot stop a complacent human from taking the bad decisions out and deploying them right onto the grid. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the frontier. Stay secure, stay vigilant, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.